Well, what a week it must have been. Just try and imagine what it was like during that week that John tells us stands between the first Easter day and the next time that Jesus appears to the disciples in the upper room. They've been touched by the life of the risen Jesus, not yet transformed. They are still huddled together behind locked doors. And Jesus comes to them. And during the next week, just imagine it. There's Peter, James, John, Mary, Martha, trying to come to terms with this new reality. Ah, he's risen. He's alive. Oh, hello, Thomas. Because funny old week that. Thomas there. Yes, Thomas. I mean, among the disciples, Thomas usually gets a bad press. In the very bottom, you've got Judas, and then kind of one up from Judas is Thomas. But here in John chapter 20, we see the reality of his doubt and the reality of his faith. Because the same Thomas who says, well, unless I see, I won't believe, is the same Thomas who cries out to Jesus, my Lord and my God. So it's not doubting Thomas. Thomas is the first person recorded in John's Gospel to see Jesus and unambiguously declare him as God. So Thomas shows us this journey from doubt to faith, so we can learn about both these realities, doubt and faith, in our own lives. But first, we have to meet the reality of doubt. Thomas does not believe the witnesses. Whether it's Peter or John or Mary, doesn't believe them. He wants evidence. He wants to see. He wants to feel. He wants tangible proof. He needs convincing. But I'm struck by the fact that when Jesus appears to Thomas, well, Jesus doesn't tell him off. It's an interesting point of comparison here. Because in the resurrection appearances in Luke's Gospel, three times Jesus tells his disciples off. There is a strong note of rebuke. Three times in Luke 24, we hear the risen Jesus saying to his disciples, how foolish and slow of heart to believe. How foolish, slow of heart to believe. How stupid, sorry, foolish and slow of heart to believe. But none of this in this upper room with Thomas. Interestingly, that Jesus, I take this at face value. I think Jesus takes Thomas and his questions at face value. He says, okay, touch, see, feel. I'm convinced that Thomas asks questions, wants evidence, not because he is sinful, but because he is human. There are several reasons why the kind of honest, questioning doubt that Thomas displays is no enemy of faith. And I know it's honest questioning doubt because when he sees the evidence, he does believe. So this is faith in search of understanding, this kind of doubt. And God has given us a rational nature. That's the first reason why, you know, God has made us to ask questions, to look for evidence. We want to see and to feel. We don't have to leave our minds or our questions outside when we come to worship God. Jesus commands us to love the Lord our God with our heart, our soul, our strength, and our mind is in there too. Christian faith is by its very nature open to question and honest inquiry. Genuine faith can never be the caricature that you find very famously in Alice in Wonderland. You've probably read it, heard how it goes, where the Queen talks to Alice, where she says, let's consider your age to begin with. How old are you? Alice replies, I'm 7 1/2, exactly. You needn't say exactly, the Queen remarked. I can believe it without that. Now I'll give you something to believe. I'm exactly 101, 5 months and a day. I can't believe that, says Alice. Can't you? Said the Queen in a pitying tone. Try again. Draw a long breath and shut your eyes. Alice laughed. No use trying. One can't believe impossible things. I dare say you haven't had much practice, says the Queen. When I was your age, I always did it for half an hour a day. Why, sometimes I believed as many as 6 impossible things before breakfast. Now, Christian faith is never about closing our eyes or our minds to reality. By its very nature, it's open to question. Second reason why honest questioning doubt is bound up with faith is that in this earthly life, all knowledge is partial and imperfect. The Apostle Paul sums up the situation in his hymn to love in 1 Corinthians 13. Now we see as a poor reflection in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am known. Now, some Christians find it difficult to cope with the fact that all our knowledge on this earth is imperfect and partial. They feel as if they have to act as though they know everything and act accordingly. Our challenge is to have the humility to live with our human, limited, and imperfect knowledge, and even our doubts. Christians never need to bluff. If we don't know the answer, we can say, we don't know. We don't have to bluff. But what about the response of faith? I've talked this morning carefully about honest questioning doubt. And I chose that description carefully because that's what Thomas's doubt is. He is open to faith. His doubt is honest. When he finds the answer to his doubts, he believes, my Lord and my God. But people and our doubts are not always as honest and straightforward. Sometimes people use doubts as an excuse or even an escape from God. I remember a friend of mine, really good friend. And when I came to faith as a Christian, he was really intrigued and he wanted to find out about it himself. So over the next couple of years, he came with me to church services, to evangelistic addresses and courses, kind of like Alpha would be today. And we talked together in interminable questions late into the night. Yes, we were undergraduate students, so we had lots of time, of course. But finally, after all this, I said to him, mate, what conceivable questions still remain? There was a long pause, and I always remember his answer. He was happy with all this stuff about Jesus dying on the cross for us and even rising again and why he would need to accept him as a savior. But he said, as we waited, he said, well, really, I can't figure out how judgment would work on other planets. Oh, come on. At that point, well, I'd just run out of answers. And later on, my friend, he went on as time went on to say, he admitted that his doubts and his questions were actually an excuse to avoid the commitment that he knew he should make and that God was calling him to. See, doubt can be an escape mechanism where we let ourselves off the hook. There's all kinds of doubt. Other kinds, well, it can be a matter, doubt, of sheer weariness or confusion. There are times when we're all just below par. The pressures of life can seem overwhelming. We can face illness, tiredness or depression. And that can make us feel like our faith has deserted us and we're full of doubts. I mean, the classic example in scripture has to be Elijah, where sheer exhaustion after his victory on Mount Carmel throws him into confusion and despair. The best advice I've ever heard about this kind of doubt that comes from just confusion or sadness or sickness was from the late David Watson. Probably nobody else here remembers him. It might be one or two. There's one or two. Yeah, a few. Forest of hands, not quite. But he was an extraordinary evangelist and Bible teacher and a great influence on me as a young person. Perhaps his most powerful book is titled Fear No Evil. It tells the story of his illness and eventual death from liver cancer. And he shares how he felt most vulnerable during the cancer treatment in the night, usually at 4 in the morning, as he faced the possibility of his own death All sorts of questions and doubts would seem to assail him. And his advice at that point was, do not doubt in the dark what you believe in the light. Do not doubt in the dark what you believe in the light. He was aware that at times life can just get confused and dark. And we need to hold on to what we know to be true as the bedrock and foundation that we've laid down at other times. That's why we all need to lay down solid foundations of faith in God's word and knowing God's love, so that when all seems dark or confused, we have that foundation. Another story, famous writer, John Bunyan, Pilgrim's Progress. I hope you've read the book. Yes, no, don't worry. If you haven't, do so. Because I love the scene where Pilgrim is about to set out on his journey to the city of salvation. An evangelist tries to point him in the right direction. And he says, do you see yonder wicket gate? The man says, no. Then he said, well, do you see yonder shining light? He said, I think so. Then said evangelist, keep that light in your eye and go up directly thereto. So shalt thou see the gate, at which, when you knock, it shall be told thee what thou shalt do. And sometimes when we're feeling low and confused, that has to be enough. Yes, I think I can see it, to keep us heading in the right direction. Well, a final response to honest questioning doubt is to realize it is the way of growth. Doubt is faith in search of understanding. Thomas moves from doubt to sight, he sees, then to faith. Doesn't work that way for us, because we don't get a visit from the resurrected Jesus. We have to trust the witnesses. Our journey of faith has to be different. He goes from doubt to faith, from doubt to sight to faith. We, on the other hand, have to go from doubt to faith to sight at the end. That's how it works. And that's why Jesus gives this last and greatest blessing. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believed. That's us. Jesus blesses us. Honest, questioning doubt spurs us on to grow in faith and the knowledge of God. I mean, questions are brilliant. That's how we learn. That's why children ask so many questions. It's how they learn. As we grow up, we don't like to look silly. So we're reluctant to ask the real questions that bother us. It's one of the reasons I like Philip Yancey's book so much, if you come across him. He asks and answers the real questions that people actually ask, not the ones that preachers wish they'd ask. I do recommend Philip's books. They're fascinating and helpful. Christians love questions because our faith is all about truth. And anyone with honest questioning doubt who comes in search of answers may well find them in Jesus, the truth. That's the great strength of courses like Alpha or Christianity Explored, anything like that, because it's the chance to ask questions, pretty much any kind of question. And the extraordinary thing is, even if people come along just to confirm their atheism, I have a couple of friends who fell in that category, they just might bump into the truth, who is Jesus Christ, and find faith in him. God has plenty of time for honest, questioning doubters like Thomas. Let's not be afraid to face real questions and real uncertainty or doubt. We have to, because we're rational human beings and we are imperfect in our understanding. But let's make sure that our questions and our doubts become the road for our faith to grow. So I refuse to call doubting Thomas, doubting Thomas. Once he meets Jesus, he is Thomas, the worshipper. Thomas, the evangelist, crying out, my Lord and my God, and showing us the way of faith. Let me pray for us for a moment. Father, we thank you before, the wonderful thing that it is to be human, to think and to question and to seek and to understand. And we thank you for Thomas, the one who moved from faith to doubt so visibly. And we pray that as we come to you, as we are, that you will show us more and more of the truth that is in Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen. We're going to stand.